So this week, many churches and denominations entered a time of Lent, right? And so that started, we had Ash Wednesday, and then, although I've never kept that tradition, I grew up with a few kids that did, and at school, and that this time of year, they were like, oh, I'm going to give up soda for the next 40 days, and I was like, that seems pretty doable. My parents don't even let me have that, so I'll jump in on that challenge, you know, and just different things that they would do. But, you know, as I've gotten older, of course, and studied it more a little bit, you know, there's some beauty in it, to be honest, just the giving up of something to replace it with a little bit more of a focus, to repent from maybe something that has been distracting you and to replace it with maybe some time or a habit that you're going to build to, like, refocus on what Jesus, you know, is maybe speaking to you or studying or whatever that may be. And so there's this kind of fun time of year to kind of refocus our energy and our time and just all that stuff on what the next, you know, well, now we're like 35 days is leading up to of the story of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and what that really means. And Tammy said it on Facebook this week too, but I've grown as well to appreciate Easter and enjoy it more than even Christmas. Like, it's just such a beautiful, radical story of his redemptive love for us. And just, we can't deny historically changed the world, what he did for us. And so there's so much beauty in that. And just to switch our focus a little bit on that. So in Selah, we've been going through the parables of Jesus, and it just kind of like builds up, you know, towards the end of his life and the different things that he was trying to get across to us and teach us. And just it's just rich word that we can apply into our lives today, you know, and we've had some really good discussions. But in Ezra, which is not a book I read on a baton, but 8:21, it says, "Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might humble ourselves before God to seek from him a safe journey for us, our little ones, and all our possessions. For I was ashamed to request from the king troops and horsemen to protect us from the enemy on the way, because we had said to the king, 'The hand of our God is favorably disposed to all those who seek him, but his power and his anger are against all those who forsake him.' So we fasted." "We fasted and sought our God concerning this matter, and he listened to our request." And so fasting in the Christian faith has a long history. I mean, there's been a long history of fasting in the Christian faith. And sometimes for me, that hasn't always been that appealing. I don't know. You know, I don't like giving up my food. I'd rather enjoy that, you know, or whatever it may be. But what becomes of it, and some people think that it is that we need to suffer a little along with Christ to hear from him. Others go, I just need to rid myself of this distraction so that I can hear from him. But, you know, however you fall in that, there are times where we need to purge or, you know, give up something to just get rid of the distraction it's causing in our lives so that we can hear from the voice of God. You know, it's so easy nowadays to distract ourselves. It's so easy nowadays to have so much information at your fingertips that, you know, you can just keep yourself busy trying to find the answer on your own, when really maybe pausing and being quiet and listening to what God has to say to us is really where we need to be and what we need to do. And, you know, I'm one that when I have a problem, I don't really rest very well until I can find an answer, you know? Like, I want a solution, and I want some closure, and I want it all to be wrapped up in this nice little bow. And I am really trying to be like, you know what? There's just things that aren't going to get figured out, you know? And that's really hard for me. Injustice, you know, they're just like having your side of the story be told just like whatever the mystery thing that's going on in your life. It's hard for me to sometimes not pursue that until I feel like I have a good answer. And I think I've said this before, but we've done a few personality quizzes, but on the Enneagram, I'm a 6. So I like to collect data and information, and I want to make sure that I'm okay. Like, you okay with what I'm about to do? So, like, I kind of like to take a survey of the people that are important in my life, and before I make a decision, and be like, right, am I on the right path, right? And, you know, that's not all bad to be like, what do you think? And to be challenged in our beliefs. But at the same time, too, it's like, girl, make up your mind and do what you feel like God's asking you to do. And you don't need to take a survey from everybody. Does that make sense? And so it's been an area that keeps popping up off and on in my life, but especially the last few weeks of just like, I want to know how this is going to, you know, and why did this happen? And how is this going to, what's causing this, you know? And it can, I love 3 a.m. wake up calls, you know, to think about it and all that. But I really lately have been going, when I go to bed, like, this is not something you're going to fix and you don't need to fix it. So just sleep tonight. And it has been working. It's been really good for me. But the older I get, I do see the value of eliminating certain things in my life. Like, I am not a night owl anymore. Like, I want sleep, you know? And so I can't stay up and do all that very often anymore. And I, you know, there's, man, just hate to say it, but sugar doesn't react well with me. I should really eliminate, you know, like, there's just things that you're like, it's not worth it anymore. It causes a distraction in my life somehow, or it affects me in some way. So there's things that I need to give up. But, you know, Jim Richards often talked about how addicts will sometimes substitute one addiction for the other, even if it's like a healthier addiction. So in other words, if somebody is like struggling with drugs, maybe they get freed from, you know, they get off the drugs, but maybe they have a huge addiction and like an unrealistic fitness routine, you know, which that's a positive thing, right? But they've almost transferred their addiction from one thing to the other, where they become really obsessed with it and it, you know, totally rules their life and stuff. And is, even though it is a positive switch, maybe the real issue of what causes them to be in that addictive state hasn't been dealt with. And so in that aspect, Lent is a kind of appealing time for me to be like, oh, I'm going to purge something that is distracting me from hearing what God has for me, or I'm using it as a band-aid for this hurt that I have in my life, rather than going to the Heavenly Father and saying, what is the root cause of this? You know, I'm just distracting. Well, maybe if I just find the answer by myself, everything will like smooth out. Or maybe if I unlock the mystery of this, then this will be fine. When really it might be like, hey, give up that time, that event or that thing or that habit that you have that distracts you, to replace it with just hearing the voice of God, maybe, or spending a little more time meditating on some scripture verses that you have, whatever it may be. Because I can find in my life, whereas I don't deal with those addictions, I definitely make substitutions for the word of God, for my time with him, for what energizes me. You know, I'm a big podcast listener, but I just was thinking this last week, man, maybe putting on some praise and worship would have a different effect on my, you know, on my attitude and my mood and my overall demeanor, rather than substituting it. And it's so easy to substitute those things in our lives, and they're not all bad. You know, it's great that that person got rid of the drugs and is really focusing on their health. That's a great thing. But if it is substituting something that God can fulfill and needs to fulfill in your life, and a hurt that you need to address, and you're just keeping yourself busy and not stopping and addressing that issue, well, then it is going to creep back up at some point in your life. And it may be a different form. Maybe it doesn't look like that. Maybe you don't have that struggle. But for some people, that's going to come back in a different way. And so, you know, this is something like, I hope you guys know, like when we preach and teach and all that, it never does come from a place of like, I've got this one figured out. Like, I mean, it really isn't like it's, I'm learning this and I want to apply this in my life too. You know, there are certain things just keep popping up in our lives that we need to address, and we need to look at the root of those things rather than just keep distracting ourselves, or, you know, putting a band-aid on it where it really does need healed and addressed by the Holy Spirit or by the words of Jesus or just time with him. But last week we sang the song, Here's My Heart, Lord, which is just, that is one of my favorites, because it is it's such a declaration to make, because we do get so easily distracted by the things that are going on in this world. And you're taking in all this information and you're hearing what others maybe say about you. Plus, you have your own thoughts about what you say about you, which I don't know about you, but mine aren't always like positive. And so you start getting a little disoriented of what is the truth in this situation. I mean, more than ever, isn't that, it's like almost too much information right now. So you're like, what is the truth in any of this, you know, that's going on in the world? And even what I'm telling myself, am I telling myself the truth right now? And so that song has been really one of my favorites, and just was thinking about that this week. And I just always have the visual of me literally like taking my heart in my hands and lifting it up and being like, can you speak? What's your truth about this? Not what I say, not what I've been collecting from all of my, the people that matter in my life, what they say the truth is. What do you say the truth is in this situation? And how do you want me to act? How do you want me to behave? How do you want me to continue on? Rather than sometimes when trials come or hurt or you feel a sense of loneliness, we just are quick to like pick up a book or watch something or to listen to something or to get out and just busy ourselves with something rather than really set with that uncomfortable moment of, I'm feeling overwhelmed, I'm feeling lonely, I'm feeling really hurt by what has happened, or I'm feeling confused. And rather than just sit there and really like seek him in that moment, asking him what he says about that, what his truth is about that, I busy myself, just keep myself going so that I don't have to think about it. And there's so much information at our fingertips where we can find our answer. Whether it's good or bad, we can find it. We can fill up that void when, and whatever side you're on in this world, it can create, and it does create a sense of anxiety at times. And so sometimes it's like we're going to these things and like, I'm just going to look up what's going on in the world. And I mean, going to be honest with you, when we went to Mexico, there had already been 2 plane crashes. And guess what? Just kept popping up on my phone. More plane crashes. And I was like, this is great. This is, my husband's like, would you just stop looking at this stuff? You know, and it's like, it just feeds whatever you want it to feed. Honestly, whatever you give attention to, it's going to keep feeding that. It's a really well-designed thing. And if you've done any studies on it, it is, man, well done. They're on it. But it's producing nothing good in my life, right? Then when I strip that away and I purge that out of my life and I say, and rather than filling up my time with that, I say, okay, God, what are you speaking to me? Okay, I've been praying Psalms 91 since I was a little girl. I have said, like, you get my attention if I'm not supposed to go somewhere or do something. And I've trusted the Holy Spirit, you know. And where it sometimes gets you, though, for me the last couple weeks that's gotten me is, I totally, in a few situations, totally thought I heard from the Holy Spirit and did it, had peace about it, felt like I went about it in the best possible way I could. And I got burned, you know, on a couple areas. And it really shook my confidence a little bit of going, okay, so maybe, did I hear from God? And like, was I trusting my spirit man? Was I operating in the way that I really felt led? And what it comes down to is, I might have missed it in a couple of areas, but maybe I didn't. But you're also dealing with a lot of people. And if they're not listening to their their spirit man, if they're not listening to the Holy Spirit, you're going to have conflict, right, at times. And that is not me saying I'm innocent in this. That's not what I'm saying. But there is going to be conflict when we're not listening to the Holy Spirit. There's times that, you know, I make the wrong choice, even though I know in my gut that I was supposed to do something else, right? And so we have to leave room for that. But rather than go, all right, I'm going to go down the rabbit hole in spiral, which is what I've done off and on the last couple of weeks, of just self-doubt or of just I'm going to self-medicate with just distracting myself with other things or this funny thing to watch so that I'm not thinking of the negative. What an opportunity that would have been to sit in that moment and say, here's my heart, Lord. I'm hurting. I'm confused. Feel like I missed it a little. Maybe I didn't. I don't know. Will you come speak the truth to me? And I feel like when we do that, we live so much freer from the pressures of this world, the opinions of people in this world, the expectations, rather than distracting ourselves with something. And I don't want to keep just replacing the root cause of what I have with another distraction, another bad habit, or whatever it may be. But in 2 Corinthians, chapter 4, verse 16, it says, therefore, we do not lose heart, but through our outer, though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison, while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And this is something I've just had to meditate on a little this night. Like, this is a moment. Do not go down because of a moment, right? I need to fix my eye. There is so much more going on that I cannot see. And there's so much going on that's for my benefit. God is constantly working on my behalf. And why will I let this momentary thing take me out or waste my time or distract me from really what God has desired for me to walk in and the freedom of not of carrying the cares of this world? That is really hard not to do. It is very hard not to carry the cares of this world. Yet, that's not my job. And I'm not, you know, we're in it, but we're not of it. I can know about it, and I'm not saying we put our heads in the sand and don't educate ourselves or anything like that, but it's not my job to carry the weight of this world. It's not my job to carry the weight of other people's choices even. And that's a hard one sometimes for me because I want it all to work out and there all to be this nice little honest conversation. We put a bow on it and it's great and we can all move on. It's actually not been promised to me and it's not my job to find and to do, but to keep my eyes fixed on things above. You know, Peter was just, what a great example and picture and symbol of what happens when we start out, okay, I'm going to do this. You know, one of the addictions that can be swapped is when somebody comes free from that and they meet Jesus, it's a whole new high for them when they meet Jesus. And maybe, and it's like, kind of like Peter, they start off just like, yes, call me out there. I'm going to do it. I'm going to walk on water. Oh man, why aren't you guys walking on water? We should all be walking on water. And then it's like, and then you start going through trials of this world and the storms start coming up and you're like, I'm walking on water. That's, you know, like all these doubts come in and disbelief and distrust and all that. And we start going down and we start looking at the world and what's going on. And we also start looking to the world for our answers. And that is just never going to happen. That is not where we are supposed to look. It's not where we're going to be find satisfaction. It's not any of those things. But when we keep our eyes fixed on him, and I know that sometimes sounds like we just live in this bubble and I just go to church and I don't do anything. And that, no. You're out there. You are living your life. That's what God's called us to do, is to go out and to be the light and the salt of this earth. Yet we can fight the feeling of letting it consume us and take us out. When we fix, man, Lord, I know this isn't all that's going on. I know that this isn't all you have for us. I know that there's a lot of people making a lot of their own choices, and it is very distracting at times and very entertaining at times and very just, man, I'll go down that. And yet when I fix my eyes on him and say, okay, yep, I'm going to go through trials. I'm going to go through different things that affect my life, but I do not have to let it take me under the water. I do not have to let it take me down. It's just like we were reading in a lesson in Selah on Wednesday. And it was just all about how he is, when we call upon him and he has given us his words and he has shared his wisdom with us and we accept it, that's key. We have to accept it, right? If we follow his words and accept his words and apply them to our lives, then when those things come, he is going to guide us through all that. And he's going to walk us through it. And he's going to navigate that, the confusion with us and what all that means. But I got to get my eyes off of what the world is doing, the storm that's around me, the water that's raging beneath my feet, and keep my eyes fixed on him. You know, all of this can change in a moment. And that's something, like I said earlier, some of the things that I've struggled with is feeling like whatever phase I'm in or whatever I'm doing is so permanent. And yet a year from now, who knows what it's going to be like, right? It's going to be different a year from now. A year from now, we're going to be in our own building. Like, that's, isn't that cool? Like, a year from now, there's going to be a whole sound setup that's secure and set, and that's going to be wonderful. You know, there's just a year from now, 5 years from now, things are going to be different. I don't want to make permanent decisions based on these momentary things because I let it distract me or consume me or fill a hole that is only meant for Jesus to come and dwell in, that he's meant to be in that area of my life, that he's supposed to be the focus for me. And I don't want to just numb out or be overwhelmed with anxiety or any of those things because it's going to change. It's going to be different. It's going to be, he's going to be there in it all. I want to keep my eyes on that and not get distracted. So I just really encourage whatever you, there's so, you guys, I don't say that like dismissively. There's so much that can distract us. There's so much going on. I mean, it's just like, it feels like it's been a really long week since last Sunday we saw you, you know, and it's like, we all had something go on this week. We all had, you know, maybe challenges or maybe just a sense of loneliness this last week, or maybe just whatever, you know, experiences that didn't really sit well with us. And yet, rather than let that consume us and distract us and take us out, what an opportunity today to renew our hearts and our minds and just set our heart like, man, God, whatever, I'm looking towards you. And there's a lot that you're doing is not evident in the world around me, that people are not. I'm reading a really, really good book right now called When Godly People Do Ungodly Things. And it's just a really great perspective on, man, it isn't, there's so much that you're doing that we can't see in the people next to us. But you're working on their behalf and you're working in on my behalf. And if I can get my eyes fixed on you, not carry the weight of all those things and not feel like I have to fix it all right now and not try to control a situation so that I feel safe, but just allow you to lead me and guide me in this situation and bring that peace and bring that comfort and prioritize that. So, you know, there's a couple things that I'm going to purge in the next, I don't know that I'm going to necessarily do it for 40 days, but, you know, I'm going to make a focus of like purging out of my life so that I can fill it. But what am I replacing it with? And that's key. I want to purge a couple things out of my life that are not producing happiness or peace or anything like that, but that I don't want, habits that I don't want to keep having, things that I just fall back on when I'm nervous or anxious or bored or whatever it may be. I don't want to create and not fill it with just randomness. I want to fill it with, what does God want me have to fill this time with? What does he want me to do in this time? Like, sometimes at the end of the day, I think, oh man, I just, the day went so fast, I didn't have time to do all these things. And it's like, then I really sat down and think about how I managed my time. And I was like, well, you really had more time than you thought, you know, but just to prioritize, just what am I going to fill that with? That will produce life to me, that will produce peace in my heart, and help me be the salt and light on this earth to the people around me. There's just, we're in a position where, you know, pendulums swing, and I think as the body of Christ, I think we do need to be prepared for the pendulum to swing and for us to have open arms for a lot of hurting people to come to the church, and that maybe this has been a place of hurt. Maybe they have never, man, more and more, you know, the kids I'm working with have very little experience knowing about God and who he is and what, you know, his teachings are. But I think that if it's going to swing, we need to be ready to accept that and to welcome people in with love and mercy and grace and be the salt and light of this earth. But in order to do that, I cannot let the things of this world distract me anymore. I can't let the worries and the cares start pulling me under. I have to keep my eyes fixed on him. So I just really encourage whatever you're going through, get your head up above that water and fix your eyes on him. And again, I don't say that lightly, like just fix your eyes. It'd be so easy. It's going to be a battle. You're going to have to daily fight the things that try to consume us, distract us, hurt us, and just, man, okay, God, all this is going on, but I'm fixing my eyes on you. I'm going to make it through. I don't have to go down with the ship. I can walk through this situation with mercy and grace and peace. And you have promised me those things. So I just, whatever it is going on, I hope you know that we believe in you and we pray with you and we agree that, man, God's not done in your life. There's so much more. I just, there's, this year's a big year. There's a few milestone. I got to celebrate a friend's birthday last night. That was a milestone birthday. And my dad's about to have one. And it just feels like it's not done yet. We just keep going. There's more that God has for us. It's just, we're not, there's, it's going to get richer and richer and more like, man, just beautiful. If we can get our eyes off of like, except for this situation over here, you know, and all these things that can easily distract us. So Heavenly Father, I just thank you for an opportunity to come today and hear from you. And I just pray that as we go about this week, we all maybe find a moment or a time or just a thing that we need to just focus more on what you would like us to replace that with. And maybe in our habits that we need to purge that are just not producing life in our in our lives and not producing healing and not producing, maybe they're a distraction and maybe they're actually causing a little bit more harm in our lives. And Lord, we just work to purge those things out of our lives and replace it with the things that you would have us replace it, Lord. And may we be full of life and energy so that that can spill out to the people around us, that your love, your mercy, your grace is what sustains us in this world. In your name I pray. Amen. Have an awesome week.